Sheldon's doing his job.
Life on Leo.
If it's docketed, it gets broadcast.
Yeah, and recorded.
Are we live? All right, thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Commissioner Brian Colquhoun meeting for a short work session today. Could be short, we'll see, on case number PU11-701, North Central Electric Cooperative versus Otter Tail Power Company. I'm joined by my colleagues, and I'll let them open up if they have any comments, and our general counsel. The focus today, I think, is just basically to provide an update on where the case is at. And so I don't have any opening comments other than maybe we'll just grow on the horn first. Randy and then Julie, if you have anything you'd like to add for that.
Just to say that this is one of those cases that I was hearing about last year already, and you know, it sounded interesting. And yesterday when I got the file on it, it went from interesting to overwhelming. And so now I'm anxious to hear the latest news.
Okay, perfect. Julie?
I don't have any comments.
Okay. Alana, did you want – let me ask this. I think – is it better for me to set the stage from what I think, or do you go through the legal update? I wanted to go to do two things. One is the legal update, but two, to give some background.
Well, and you could certainly give the background. I think on this one, maybe the legal update might be the best coming first.
Okay, sounds good. Let's go with that then.
I don't think commissioners have to do any worries about coping with this case or how to handle it or anything else, because it's out of your hands unless it's remanded. It is simply an administrative decision that's been appealed under the law to district court, and it's sitting at district court waiting for a decision. And there have been briefs filed by three parties, North Central, Otter Tail, and the commission. And when that decision is issued, it will either say affirmed, okay, the commission's decision is blessed, overturned, and you just implement that, or it would be remanded for some kind of new hearing. And I don't even want to get into the basis on which that might happen, because I don't know. But in theory, it's possible. So if it's remanded, then you might be having a case in front of you with evidence and hearings and all, and have to make some kind of mm-hmm. decision. If you win or lose, someone will probably appeal. If you lose, you'll decide if you want to appeal. But even if you don't, Otter Tail may want to appeal. The next step is the Supreme Court. Okay, now I have had no involvement in this case. I'm familiar with the issues a little bit.
Who's your attorney on this one?
Mark was our attorney.
Mark, right, yeah.
Mark was our attorney. And if we have a question of what do we want to do for the next step and how much do we want to invest and how do we want to go about it, then I think we have that discussion at that time. We don't have a decision yet from the court.
What's the next step in court?
Just a decision from the judge.
So the briefs were filed last fall?
Yes.
And how long do they take?
Well, it depends on workload and complexity. And if I'm not mistaken, this is in front of Gail Haggerty.
Okay.
Which means that if it goes to the Supreme Court, Dale will not be on the case.
Right. The one thing
but I could be mistaken about that, so memory.
We talk about going forward that some of the concerns we have, like, say, in grain elevators of paying for counsel, it's not the case, because the telecom cases, when these are all said and done, we bill back the companies for the legal fees.
The telecom, but not for this one.
Right.
This would fall into the no pot of money to pay anybody outside to handle
it. Right, I missed the
case.
The next one
is the next
telecom.
One, and I'm going to recommend somebody in that. But
it does leave us question, though, of as the new attorney comes in, what to do.
Well, yes. And there's the question that you can be thinking about is whether the commission has to take a huge role if it were to go to the Supreme Court, or a small role. You've got, and we've said this more than once, the attorneys who have worked here over the years, when you have a complaint case, you have A versus B. It's just like a case in court, a divorce or whatever. And those are the two parties with the most at stake. Now, the commission has, I think, an obligation to defend its order. But that, to me, is a more minor role than if you're A or B.
Right.
And so it's possible that it could be done, even by me, with a minor role at the Supreme Court. You know, even in the reclamation one, I think the briefing schedule was broken up where the company had more time and the commission had less time, the argument schedule. So it can be a huge undertaking. It can be a smaller undertaking depending on how much the commission decides. And that depends on what the decision is.
But if I could just jump in that this was a 3-0 vote, myself, Commissioner Kramer, and Commissioner Clark, and there was a lot of issues surrounding it. But the three of us, I think at that time, our work session took about 20 minutes. It was clearly a jurisdictional case that we as a commission had no jurisdiction on tribal land. And I think the other case, the other viewpoint is that it violates the Territorial Integrity Act, that there's overbuilding. Mm-hmm. And we said that, yes, there is overbuilding in this area that violates the TIA, but it is a sovereign nation, so we have no jurisdiction. So it's...
Yeah, and it was like a tribal business, I think,
yes.
Yeah. On tribal land. So there are these piece parts of jurisdiction, and if this goes up the ladder, that you will get more case law on where the boundaries really fall from this case.
But I think the part of this is that as a commission, we all three said otter tail, in our opinion. Let me talk about myself. I shouldn't talk about the other guys. This was clearly a case where I think otter tail did what I would call bad policy, that they expended their services to an area that they didn't belong in, whether they were allowed to or not. I didn't like what they did and told them that, you know, if all of a sudden they're losing money on this thing and they try to come back and come at us in a rate case to get us to pay for it, that'd be something that I would look at very closely. So there's the case involved, which is part of it, but this will appear somewhere down the road.
Right, and I think you do need to think about you can think GRE, you can think other jurisdictional questions, because we had a couple where there's no jurisdiction over the state buying electric service. Your obligation to determine fair and reasonable rates and to collect enough money from ratepayers so that the company can be a good company and provide good service is supposed to fit with your obligation over where they can invest, your jurisdiction over where they can invest. And so there really is some reason, and it doesn't have to be answered in this case, but to be thinking about, if there's no jurisdiction over who serves, perhaps that's carved out of rates, and that's shareholder investment and shareholder profit.
Or like shareholder
selling,
loss.
Or loss, like selling stoves. You know, that's the allocation between regulated investment versus unregulated investment. That's how this plays out, like into the future.
My opinion, depending what happens here, what if MDU decides to serve in three affiliated tribes? What if XL decides? I mean, there's what Otter Tail did here, while I supported that we have no jurisdiction there, I think was a mistake.
It was interesting when I was reading the order, because it was setting up until the very end.
Yes.
Suggesting that we did have jurisdiction.
Yes.
And then in the very end, it said Federal District Court diverges with the Supreme Court's analysis in one yet material, North Dakota Supreme Court's analysis in one material finding. And then that was because of the service side is to a tribal business located on trust land. So they seem to distinguish between the fact that over most of the Indian lands,
there's some reason for state jurisdiction, yes.
And they've never questioned it or asked for it or, you know, whatever. So I thought that was interesting. The question that came to my mind here, and maybe this is what will be settled out, you know, in court again, is which federal district court or state Supreme Court, which is the ultimate legal deciding power?
Well, that's one of the questions. That's one of the questions, and that's one of the opposite arguments, that this federal district court is not controlling unless somebody takes it to the Supreme Court. When you have a state that's many state court decisions, state highest court decisions are appealed to the Supreme Court. That's how you get these decisions,
sure,
outlawing various things. Another way is when you get different decisions in different districts or circuits not so much districts, because you have to go up to appellate court, like the Eighth Circuit, the Ninth Circuit, the Sixth Circuit, all have different opinions. Somebody takes that to the Supreme Court, so there's some consistency.
Yeah.
So that is, again, one of the issues that can be argued different ways, mm-hmm. okay? Which is the winning way, I don't know. And this Indian jurisdiction, whether it's in North Dakota or outside, is just not settled. Every time there's a case, you get another piece of the puzzle to try to then use next time to help decide.
Mm-hmm.
So if this one goes up, you'll get another piece to use.
Yeah, because each one has a little different variation. And,
right. You know. And there's a different degree of need on the part of the police power, like, you know, a safety issue, emergency safety issue would have a different mm-hmm. balance than some other.
Yeah. It was interesting to read because it isn't as clear as, like, you do, you don't.
Right.
As I had maybe thought right. before reading into some of the sovereignty issues that were discussed in this. So, anyway.
Right. And that's why, you know, I mean, those are kinds of things to keep in your mind when you, again, it's premature, we don't have a decision, but when you're thinking about, well, what does the commission really need to do further in this case, if anything, kind of,
right.
know.
But this is a good example of having a thorough record developed. That's what the judge is looking at right now.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The if the two new commissioners, I'll put it that way, did not agree with what the three previous commissioners did, could they now, right now, say we want to pull this case back? Could those two vote and overrule me and pull it back?
You could. You have to file something requesting a remand in district court. So the district court's permission would be necessary. And, of course, the winner would not want you to do that. So they would be objecting to you doing
but
that.
But that is something that...
And you could. And then you do this notice.
To be fair to you guys.
Yeah. And then you do a notice to the companies that we think we want to change, you know, we want to re-examine the order.
Right. But there would be naturally folks against that.
Yeah. There are steps you can go through to do that.
That was a question when I got here. Same situation as you two were in with cases, but I was the one
yeah.
and the two voted. But there is something, if you look at some of these cases and say, I don't agree with them, you could potentially change.
Anything can be reopened. We have a statute that talks about changing a previous order, and it's simply a due process notice that's involved. And then you might hear some reasons not to do it, but right. you owe the due process notice. So this is a wait.
I have a couple questions that don't have to do really with the case specific.
Okay.
With the details of the case, but how we operate.
Okay.
So where's the line between a rate case where we can bill our expenses to the companies involved and this where we can't?
Okay.
Why can't we do this?
I'm going to give you a little bit of a longer answer because I'm just going to give you the background to show how we got to the line. We used to have... Every utility expense, out-of-pocket expense regulating a utility through a revolving fund called the Utility Valuation Fund, okay? And it arose originally in the – there's a whole chapter that you probably will never look at, but you should sometime, about how you evaluate utility property, how you give it a value. So pretend you were bringing electricity to Bismarck for the very first time – or to North Dakota for the first time, somebody would have to value the plant, and that'd be your initial rate base. So it's 100 years old, okay? And it had a revolving fund in there for us to, if we had expenses in trying to do that, we would bill the utility involved, and then we could re-spend it, okay, which was taken away in the 90s. The revolving part was taken away in the 90s, and the thing was shrunk substantially, and it was... shrunk down, I think, just to telephones, because telephones were big business in the 90s as far as regulatory business. That stayed broad, which is, and we still have it today. But gas and electric was shrunk down to rate increase applications only, and nobody was bringing any because we weren't building anything, okay? So if staff wanted to file a complaint for over earnings or something, that was on our own nickel, not on the revolving fund. Okay, and then the revolving part was also taken away, and there was an appropriation. We had to stay within a certain appropriation. We had to try to guess what we would need. Okay, so now a few years back, we got the siting fees changed. They were always fees, but it went into the general fund. We got those changed to be able to use them to process the cases. And so, like, the session after that, we're thinking, well, maybe we could do this for these big cases that we're getting. And we just simply picked, we and with industry's buy-in, basically, rate cases which come under a specific statute, ADP, Advanced Determination of Prudence, like Geronimo, these transmission flow-throughs, like you're getting a couple environmental flow-throughs or something that just got filed. So there's just a little list of about five types of cases, and they have an application fee written in them. So there is nothing written in for a complaint under the TIA. Okay, but in the old days, when we had this revolving fund, if we had a TIA dispute and we had to travel to Minot for a hearing, we charged that to those companies. But that came crashing down in the early 90s, in the big budget cuts, you know, the come in at 95% type years. So we had thought, we toyed around with it this time of, like, do we want a fee for these bigger TIA cases somehow? Mm-hmm. Because don't forget, the fee should apply to the co-op too, and we really don't regulate them, but they cause the work. Like in telephone, they're both paying. It's their issue, yes. So that's the difference. Rate case comes under 4905 something, and it says right in there, you don't file one without sending in money.
Okay.
Okay.
So that being the case, not to put words or thoughts into any of the previous commissioners' mouths, but as I read this, I don't sense that this was really a decision that they made because there was such a desire to reach this conclusion that, boy, we really want to not be involved up there.
You're probably reading it right.
It seems to me it was more a matter of, well, this is what the law says.
We're kind of stuck with this.
We've got to follow it.
Yeah.
So why would we expend a lot of our resources helping Otter Tail prevail on upholding this decision if, I mean, other than a sense of, you know, some pride in our work to maybe be there to answer questions how we reached a conclusion.
Right.
But I guess I can't see then spending a lot of effort if the court rules that we misunderstood something and that we do have authority. Then, well, that. Mm-hmm. Thank you for clarifying
right.
it. We'll
right.
exert our authority now.
Right.
I think
right.
that's the exact discussion the three of us had, was that
yeah.
we haven't spent
no.
any time. We did the order, and we're just letting it run through.
Mark did the filings, and then there is, and that's why I said it's possible that you would do even less at the Supreme Court level. I mean, I don't know. We'd have to talk about that. But it
you
really
know,
is.
Digging into this past, all these past laws. Was that the...
Well, I think the parties and Mark, because we asked for briefs and things like that.
Yeah.
Those are, I mean, what you're reading in the order and then reading in the briefs, you know, were also brought out at the time of the hearing, if I'm not mistaken, because we had an amicus brief by one of the tribes or somebody affiliated.
It was a weird deal because the tribes came down, but they wouldn't submit themselves to us.
The jurisdiction, right.
So they testified, but then they left. They wouldn't answer questions.
But then Larry Bear sent in some kind of a brief on behalf of some. I mean, I wasn't right involved, so I don't remember. But most of this information comes out in the briefs and in the research of staff.
But some of the, I think the point that Randy was bringing out was that some of the cases that get appealed, you're not surprised. But I was surprised in this one because I didn't see any grounds for them to appeal it. But then when I saw their answer, I thought, okay, I see their point.
Mm-hmm.
I'm waiting to see what the court says, because if the court interprets it different, I'm happy to then look at it. So, yeah, I think mm-hmm. it's not like we're aggressively fighting for this. It's
right.
just their points brought up something that maybe the judge would agree with. And if they do, then we'll look at it again. And that would set this is going to set the stage for a lot.
Yes, state. It's going to set the stage, and we'll get some instructions from the court one way or the other.
Yep.
Even a remand would be instructions, because it would mean we have some kind of jurisdiction, and we have to look at some kind of issue that we didn't look at.
Is our state Supreme Court usually pretty good about being helpful with those kinds of instructions? I can't really think of an example, but over the years, I've heard of court cases where, you know, Supreme Court cases, I'm talking more federal, and some decision is made on some tiny technicality. And here people have been waiting for years for this thing
for
to go
answer.
Through and get something clarified, and they just completely blow off the issue that everybody's waiting for an answer on.
I'm going to come to their defense, because the rule basically is that you decide you, well, I don't want to put words in their mouth. I don't. But you're deciding kind of on the narrowest possible thing that's the answer. You try not, if you can answer it with one little thing, and that is the answer, then you try not to get out into all this other stuff. That's all considered dicta. That's all stuff that's unnecessary to the decision, and you don't use it as precedent. And so I don't know that they go out of their way to try to be, you know, like not be clear or anything like that, but if there's a little point and that gives you the answer, like there's no jurisdiction or they didn't file it on time or something, that's all you're going to get.
No, why would Dale have to step down if it does go to the Supreme Court?
Because Judge Hagerty is his wife, and I think he will.
Okay. I was thinking PSC stuff. I wasn't even thinking.
No. No.
Of course.
I mean, the chief steps down for anything Dan Kuntz does, because I think his wife is his niece.
Yep.
The chief's niece. So.
All right. That makes more sense than something else. Okay.
But this one is just, you get an answer, and we'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
No time estimates.
It's been hanging there a while.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, the
courts are over busy too.
Excuse me.
And North Central has, is it Senator Dave Hogue is on the North Central side, and the young lady are the two counsels on it.
Oh, yeah. Just so Deborah Hofar.
I saw Dave's name a bunch.
Yeah.
Missouri Valley.
He's on the Missouri Valley, yeah. But Deborah Hofar from that Pringle.
But they're the same firm, though.
Yeah.
Oh.
So Dave's firm is in this one, too. Anything else?
Not for me.
Okay, Alana.
Okay.
Going once, going twice?
Yeah.
All right, we'll close the work session on case number PU11-701. Thank you.
I'll see you at 2:30, I guess.
Okay.
Do you want to talk about that railroad thing?
I could.
How do these things? Are these rechargeable, or do we have to throw them back?
No, we're going to be environmental today.